It's good to hear you sing Alleluia to the King and to join in with you in confessing in the first hymn that great is the Lord. This morning I'd like to think briefly about the preeminence of Christ and take those thoughts from Colossians 1. And so you can turn there, perhaps your finger back in Ephesians 3 as well. Actually, twin thoughts here, the preeminence of Christ and the empowering Holy Spirit in this time together. In Colossians 1, there's so much that is strong and beautiful and worshipful, but I'd like to just note that we give thanks to the Father in verse 12. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. So we're thinking here about the preeminence of Christ and how that Jesus, it says, conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. And then he brings redemption, and he's the image of the invisible God. And verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. So there's so much said here about Jesus Christ. It's been said that if Ephesians is addressed, and especially about the Church of Christ, that Colossians then is the Christ of the Church. And we see the preeminent Christ here in a number of statements and declarations. Somehow, to put this into perspective, I'd like to think about this earth. I don't know how many of you woke up this morning conscious of the fact that we're at the 38th parallel. Surprised me if you did. Well, As you know, the equator is here at the center around the girth of the globe, and maybe you know that there are parallels coming up all the way around. These are concentric circles that get smaller and smaller as we come to the top of the globe. And so typically on a globe like this, there's about 15 degrees between concentric circles. So as we come up here, 15 degrees, and then 30, and then 45, think about the geometry of the globe then. At 45 degrees, it's halfway from the vertical and the horizontal. Now up here, you would find halfway from the pole to the equator, you would have the 45th parallel, which happens to be most of the border between Wyoming and Montana. And it lines up beautifully with Gettysburg, South Dakota, which you and I don't know much about, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, which we might know a little more about, and other points. Up in northern Michigan, between Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, the meridian goes through, and or the parallel goes through. And so it's interesting. Now, Bill Crowder writes the story of his wife making a comment as they drove through northern Michigan, and they saw a sign that was planted to point out that this is the median between the equator, roughly the median between the equator and the pole. And so she just said, isn't it amazing how big our world is? And they thought about all of the, well, maybe they didn't think about all of it, probably don't know all of it, but all of the majesty of the earth and the greatness thereof and how small they were in relation to that. Then they had to think about who it was that put together all of this. And so we also think, and they also thought about the vastness of the universe. So here's a globe, and we've got a really small representation of the earth, just kind of blows our mind to think about the size of it, the complexity of it, the wonder of how it all works, and then to think that it's only a speck of dust in the compared to the vastness of the universe, and then to think of the great power of God who made it all. And so we think in that kind of with that kind of background, we think with different eyes. We see with different eyes. We think with a different understanding when we see that these words that say all things were created through him and for him, and by him all things were created that were in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. It's just amazing to think about the preeminent Christ, the one who created the world. Of course, the wonderful beauty of it is that he didn't just create the world and let it spin or decay as the results of sin would bring it, but he also was interventive in our behalf. And so that's a little different story. Right now we just think and worship the preeminent Christ. And then if you'll page back to Ephesians 3, I'd like to think a little bit with you about some of the things here that, well, we'll just notice here in verse 14 and 15, starting in the beautiful prayer of Paul. And then it says in verse 16, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. The strengthening power of the Holy Spirit. It's so meaningful to think that we can be connected to God through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can strengthen the inner man, that the Holy Spirit can empower us to do what we can do. And you know, sometimes we feel dry and empty, and we need the connection again. And maybe we don't have, maybe we just need to yearn for it initially. We come to the place where we come to God and we say, God, help me, I'm in need. I'm just a broken, sinful man. I want to tell you a story. There was a Colonel T.E. Lawrence. I read this in the book by Harold E. Cohn, Adventures in Insight, was it? He wrote several books, and I'm forgetful. I should have written that down, I know it. But Harold Cohn wrote about this T.E. Lawrence. He was a British adventurer who rallied the Arabs in the First World War to the Allied cause. And he told of two desert chieftains who had saved his life more than once in the war, and how that after the war, they visited London, his home country, and he showed them around and put them up in the finest of hotels and took them out to see the Tower of London, other sites, Buckingham Palace and King George and Queen Mary, just gave them the royal treatment. And as their visit was coming to an end, he wanted to give them something to remember him by. And so he offered them something. But before that, I want to say that, of course, everywhere they went, they were the center of attention because of their unusual garb and because they were in the presence and friends of this hero of England, this Colonel Lawrence. And so he offered to them, pick anything that you'd like from what you've experienced and seen here, and I'd like to give you something to take home as a memorial of our friendship and this visit. And so they went into secret consultation. This was serious. They wanted the best. So they announced that they would like to have two hot water faucets. You know, they didn't really understand that the hot water faucets alone wouldn't furnish hot water. You know, it takes plumbing, it takes a heater, it takes a pressure tank, it takes reservoirs. You know, it all has to come together. It's a system that delivers the hot water. And they were so awed by this that they thought maybe they could take this back home. Can you just picture the Bedouin tents with faucets fastened to the side and with them massaging them and pounding them and in frustration mounting, couldn't get any hot water out of them? Well, you know, we too can have a high regard for the superficial. We can study to get the diploma or the degree. We just study to pass the test. But we miss some of the heart of learning, the joy of learning, to have sustained a reservoir, something that flows, something that we live by, something that grows, and we never quit learning. The amplified usefulness that arises out of all of this. Or in religion, you and I can come to church, we can follow rules and rituals, but not the Spirit. And what young person here wants to marry a spouse that's like that? Just a shell of a religious appearance without a regenerated heart and a Spirit-directed life. And when you think about home and marriage, you know, we can maintain the appearances of a home. And maybe a man could say he wants someone to cook, to launder, and to provide physical intimacy on a regular basis. And maybe the woman says she wants to marry someone strong to provide the house and the comforts, to sire and discipline children. But somehow, as we talk it like this, we realize that we're on the externals. We're not down into the heart to live there in a life that's filled with self-giving, that's characterized by forgiveness and kindness, loyalty and companionship. I'd say it's ceremony without connection. It's the faucet without the resources. And then switch it a bit, but still in the home, parenting. You know, parents can provide a splendid house, but a poor home. Good toys, but dull table conversation. We can teach our children to brush their teeth, but forget to teach them to brush their minds. We can train them to keep their body clean, but not the soul. So with that, I just challenge us to think beyond the external and get to the internal and the tremendous power of God. As I've read to you from verse 16, Paul prays that the Ephesians, and by extension we, could be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I hope that's true. And now I just, for you and me today, and if it isn't, let's come to God. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Eternal God, we come to you this morning through the preeminent Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the provisions in creation and redemption. And thank you for making it possible that we can be connected to the indwelling Holy Spirit. And now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.